Hello. Welcome to tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. In about an hour, we're going to be joined, once again, it's been several months, but we're going to be joined by Marcy Winograd, who is running for Congress in California's 36th District to unseat Jane Harman. We'll be talking to her from Los Angeles. So, oops, what's that noise? Oh, it's the this crappy-ass computer. What a day, huh? I think Rachel's right, Rachel Maddow. The right wing in this country is suffering from a severe case of Obama derangement syndrome. I've never seen anything like this. I've caught bits and pieces. People have sent me links to some of the audio. Matter of fact, we have a little piece of audio we're going to play for you from Rush Limbaugh, who is now and forever linked himself clearly, as have most right-wingers in this country, with the kind of mindset that produces right-wing religious fanatics like, oh, I don't know, think of somebody. Oh, I know, the Taliban. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much what Limbaugh stated today. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But I've gotten a lot of emails from people on the left who are scratching their heads and saying, well, what did he do to deserve it? I'm not quite sure how to answer that. I think it was a good choice, frankly. I'll just state that right at the beginning of the program. I think choosing Barack Obama, I have to think about it. When I first heard about it today, my first reaction was, what? But after having 8-10 hours to think about this, I think what the Nobel Peace Prize Committee did in selecting Obama was a sensible thing. It was a logical thing. It was an inspirational thing. And it also was one more nail in the coffin of these sick right-wing bastards in the United States. I had occasion today to talk with, we took Molly to another one of her 5-year-old friend's birthday parties. And this little girl, her aunt and uncle were in this country. She is from England, or her parents are from England. A little girl, Molly's classmate, is an American citizen. But aunt and uncle were here from Sheffield, England. And we were talking during the kids' birthday party this afternoon. You know, we were sitting around talking about the political climate in England and the economic climate. And the conversation drifted around to Barack Obama and his winning of the Nobel Prize today. Even though he did nothing to lobby for it, he didn't ask for it. Some of the people on his staff didn't even know that his name had been placed in nomination. And as a matter of fact, his name had been placed in nomination, 9, 11, 14, whatever, days after his swearing as president of the United States. And the people I was talking to from the UK or from England seemed to be very comfortable with the idea that Barack Obama, who is seen as someone with great potential insofar as the peace is concerned, they thought it was a quite proper selection. In the course of my talking with him, of course, it came up about Obama trying to make a decision about more war in Afghanistan, about continuing the war in Iraq, and those issues that are valid questions to raise, when someone is nominated for, something as prestigious and as, earth-shaking, if you will, as the Nobel Peace Prize. Somebody said today, well, when Desmond Tutu and Bishop Tutu got it in 1984, you know, that there you go. There's somebody deserved it. And as Rachel Maddow pointed out tonight, hold on a second. At the time Desmond Tutu got the Nobel Prize, for a Peace Prize, apartheid was still in full sway in South Africa. The efforts by Tutu and Mandela and other people in that country had not come to fruition at all. As a matter of fact, it was 10 years wasn't it, 10 years before apartheid really ended in South Africa. So it raises the question, of course, and there are other examples. What is the Nobel Peace Prize? In what manner is it given? Is it given to people who have thoroughly accomplished something or people who are still striving to accomplish something? The cynical remarks and the hatred and the sickness that came out of the right wing today was not a surprise. You know, when you have cockroaches like these right wingers cheering when they conclude that the Olympic Committee snubbed Obama, it is no surprise that when the Nobel Committee awards him a peace prize that they're going to wet their pants and crap all over themselves. So the reaction from the right wing is fully expected. No surprise there whatsoever. But it was kind of interesting to me to see the confusion, if not outright disdain. Is that the right word? Is that the word I'm looking for? From the left and or the liberals or the Democrats or certain people in this country who identify themselves as liberal and see Barack Obama maybe as having betrayed what the liberals thought they were voting for. I put myself in that camp very often with these issues that keep coming up where I wonder when Barack Obama is going to fulfill some of his promises, deliver on some of the hope, bring about some of the change, all that stuff that he ran on. But then when I stop and consider what he's dealing with, what he's up against, what he's trying to do, I don't say this patronizingly, but in certain areas, what appears to me to be his naivete about certain issues, those issues being not necessarily in the international realm, but his naivete about how our system works. And the quickest evidence of that is his continuing efforts to try to reach across the aisle to murderers, to Nazis, to killers, to scum, the way he continues to do with the Republicans. I see that as naivete. Some people see it as Obama's training to compromise, to try to find agreement somewhere in the middle. Probably very true. But the reaction, I think, from the left is kind of I won't say shocking, but Let me share with you. This is not necessarily a negative reaction. This is from Dee in Plano, Texas, who writes, "I woke this morning, couldn't believe my ears. The President Obama had won the Nobel Peace Prize? No, that on almost every that's not what had me not believing my ears. That on almost every news channel that I turned to, all I heard was people who call themselves professional news people ranting and raving about how did this happen." And how Obama didn't deserve it. This is so funny. When people try to argue that President Obama needs adequate time to successfully achieve results from his policy changes, everyone on the right and in the media chimes in, "Well, he's been in office for 10 months! Then when President Obama wins the Nobel Peace Prize, everyone on the right and in the media chimes in, "Well, he's only been in office for 10 months! How hypocritical. Now, I expect this kind of non-thinking partisan rhetoric coming from many in the right-wing party. They just don't know any better. But I expect a lot more from the media, although I increasingly don't know why. This is an honor for any American. And the media did not even stop for 60 seconds to say what an honor it was for the president of our country to receive it before they started bashing him for receiving it. This is not an American honor. There is no right or no left in this process. Actually, this is a global honor. And while many in the media only want to find fault in the process, many of us who truly love our country only want to find joy in the meaning. Just think, there was a time when the words, "The President of the United States has won the Nobel Peace Prize," would have made Americans happy and resulted in a sense of pride. Now, in the age of constant criticism and cynicism, it only makes some skeptical bitter and angry. Only in America can a leader winning the Nobel Peace Prize be a bad thing. As an American, that truly makes me sad. President Obama did not nominate himself for this, nor did he lobby for it. It's an honor that was unanimously, I might add, bestowed upon him by other global leaders, and I think we all need to step back, take a deep breath, and reflect on what it truly means for the leader of our country to be thought of in such a way, rather than turning something so humbling into a political free-for-all. It's truly a sad state of affairs when people in other countries respect and value a leader more than the people in his own country. how far we've truly fallen when even the happy things make us mad. D in Plano, Texas. This portion of the Mike Malloy program is brought to you tonight by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalone.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. Around, 21 past the hour. Don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, this hour, next hour, and the third hour tonight, we'll be playing podcast trivia where you can win a free one-year subscription to podcast downloads of this program, commercial free. So stick around for that. We're talking about Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize today, and I think it's a great idea. After 8 years of a degenerate, disgusting, warmongering president and foreign policy in this country, I think, you know, even if the Nobel Committee awarded to Obama as a reaction, as a repudiation of 8 years of U.S. policy under this murderous regime that we had with Bush, that's okay with me. That's all right. I think the rest of the world is saying what we here in the United States can't say yet, and that is that Obama represents a future that he's working, trying to bring about a future of peace. Now, before you jump down my throat and say, "Well, God damn it, Malloy, why doesn't he bring the troops home?" You know, that's my demand, thought, hope, wish, prayer, also. But what do you and I know about that? I mean, okay, I've said it before. I can say it right now. Bring them home. Just enter the order. The presidential directive, it's over. Congress didn't authorize this sort of thing. They did not. So bring them home. Okay, I'm all for it. Let's go. Rock and roll. I think at that point, there's a good chance that Joe Biden would ascend to the presidency, because the crazy people in this country would then pull the plug on whatever they're holding back on in an attempt to see Obama assassinated. So that's one scenario. Another scenario is, I was raised in the television age. I want things resolved in 28 minutes. You know, you keep hearing people, and I'm not the only one, keep hearing people say, "Well, he's been in office 10 months, Jesus!" People on the left are saying that. I say that. When's the process going to start? Maybe that's a wrong perspective. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy with half of what Obama has done or not done. So, you know, I mean, you can probably say the same thing. Okay, what do we want? Do we want somebody who walks on water, who points a finger at that crisis and it's solved, points a finger at this crisis and it's solved, ends the Defense of Marriage Act with the signature on a declaration, orders don't ask, don't tell debacle to end with the signature on a declaration, orders the complete stopping of surveillance, no matter where it is, no matter what kind of an act that might take. Would it take an act of Congress to undo? Would it take a signature by the president? Are these things that really caused me to have doubts about the man? Of course. considering to send another 40,000 troops, although it appears that that's not going to be the issue here at all. It appears that Obama is reconsidering that. I don't know. You don't know. And we don't get the news. We don't understand. We have no idea what's going on. His press secretary doesn't stand up and say what's being discussed inside his foreign policy team. Gibbs is not there to give the American people every little tidbit that these half-ass White House press corps people want. That's not his job. His job is to control the flow of information. To the extent that he's doing that, he is doing what a press secretary is supposed to do. Do I like it? No. That's the way it goes. Another thing that I talked to, about with the aunt and uncle of Molly's little friend, the couple from England, was the entire difference in our political systems, how we get people into high office. Gordon Brown is on his way out. Looks like this conservative, what's his name, drawing a blank now, is going to be the next prime minister if the Conservative Party gets the reins of government. We talked about the Liberal Party in England. Another thing that what was his name, Kathy? Ian? Because I just met him. No, it wasn't Ian. It was Colin. Was it Colin? Another thing he brought up was the fact that he and his wife serve in Sheffield, England, on an election committee, kind of like poll watchers here or vote counters here or whatever. And he said that in the last local elections there were candidates from 12 political parties on the ballot. And he stretched his hands out and he said the ballot was this long. I said, well, I wish we had that system here. I said, how does it work? Is it just simple majority? He said, yeah, it's kind of instant runoff voting. I guess is what you people call it here, but we don't have runoffs. You know, a candidate doesn't have to win 50% plus one vote. A candidate has to win a majority. And on and on and on. I don't know. It's just a very significant thing happened with the President of the United States being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And I think it was a good thing. Do I have disagreements with this president? Well, of course, don't you? But getting the Nobel Peace Prize was a wonderful thing, a good thing, an amazing thing, a profound thing, a good thing, a decent thing. A proper thing. It's time once again for podcast trivia here on the Malloy program. All you have to do, Truth Seeker, is to answer the question correctly as it is posed to you when you become a contestant, and you will win a one-year subscription free to Mike Malloy program downloads commercial-free. Average retail value of these is somewhere around $59 a year, so you can see it's one hell of a deal. Speaking of which, if we don't soon get some podcast subscribers, I don't know how much longer we're going to continue. I really don't. All right, let's play. Let's start with Ziggy, who is in Sky City, New Mexico. Where is that, Ziggy?
Oh, it's kind of about an hour west of Albuquerque. There's an Indian reservation with a casino.
Ah, well, welcome to podcast trivia. Are you ready? Take a chance here and see if you can win?
Sure, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Which of the following accidents did not happen to George W. Bush while illegally occupying the Oval Office? Which did not happen? A, he choked on a pretzel. B, he fell off a Segway personal vehicle. C, he fell off a bicycle. D, he choked on a tater tot. Which one did not happen?
A, the pretzel.
No. You remember? He did choke on the pretzel, and he was, you know, he wound up with a black eye and a cut on his face. And
I thought it was a tater tot.
Well, no, the Tater Tot is one he didn't do. But that's all right, Ziggy. Thank you. All right, you can try again. I'll tell you what, you can try again. We're going to do this twice more this evening. So thanks for playing. Who's next? Ellie is in San Diego. Hi, Ellie.
Hi there.
Okay, you ready to give this a shot?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. On May 1st, 2003, Bush landed on the USS Lincoln aircraft carrier and proclaimed that major combat operations were over in Iraq. And he said, quote, "In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed," end quote. What phrase was written on the banner that was placed on the ship in the background? Was it
mission accomplished?
Was it A, stay the course? B, mission accomplished? C, freedom and victory? D, that's a sock in my pants and I am happy to see you?
Well, the banner said B, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. You're absolutely right. Okay, way to go. All right.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Allie, stay online. Stay right there. Kathy will pick up the phone and get the pertinent information. I thought it was, there's a sock in my pants, and I am happy to see you. But remember how so many Republican women and men just went crazy with that codpiece that he wore, that, you know, part of his flight suit? That's all they looked at? Huh? Miserable bastards. A couple of emails here regarding Obama. Obama's winning the Nobel Peace Prize today. And again, I support this. I think it was a great decision on the part of the Nobel Committee. Apparently, it shocked the bejesus out of Barack Obama. And it may put a lot of pressure on him now, which good. Absolutely. Keep the pressure on. Jay writes in, Mike, it's Obama's fault he won the Nobel Peace Prize. It's amazing how they've managed to spin the Nobel Peace Prize of all things. The Nobel is not a job evaluation. Barack Obama has inspired millions around the globe, inspired millions to start paying attention and look forward with an attitude of cooperation. Living overseas, I can say from personal experience what you and most of the listeners already know, that the United States public is so far out of touch with the rest of the world, it's unreal. The President of the United States, our President of the United States, has won the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's just say that say that a few times to let it sink in. Think of President Bush. Think of Reagan. Think of George Bush Sr. Think of Nixon. The President of the United States has won the Nobel Peace Prize. Hearts and minds is what Obama does best. Well, except for those goddamn Republicans. From Mary Bell in Alpine where? Texas? I don't know. Mary Bell writes, let's invent a prize for Republicans, too. I heard on the radio today, wish I could remember who said it to give them proper credit, that the problem with Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize is that it's a prize for which conservatives and Republicans cannot, by their nature, compete. None of them lift a finger to achieve real peace in the world. No need to find some sort of prize for, we need to find some sort of prize for most conservative, or the Nobel Capitalism Prize, or the Emperor's Award, or whatever. So they get a prize too. Maybe then they'll be more at peace with our country and leaders like President Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a good point. There is absolutely nothing in conservative philosophy in any country, but especially not here where the sons of bitches have gone completely mad. There is nothing there that would generate world peace or would be acknowledged as being an approach other than a demand, an arrogance, a warmongering, thuggery, right? Too bad, you sick bastards. That's why they're upset. And I agree. Mary Bell is absolutely right. From David in California, Mike, indeed, it is an honor for our president to receive the Nobel Prize for Peace. I'm happy that someone out there in the realm of world concerns and events still cares about recognizing the idea of peace. In addition, I've been critical of Obama's choices, but this one needs none. This morning, when I learned of the news, all I heard on the morning talk shows on satellite radio was what you've already said, that what has he done? All that matters in the achievement and being award, not the fact that he, Obama, happens to be a black man. I say, so effing what? I don't understand your sentence, sir, David, but all right. The Reich Wing is simply out of their minds. They deserve pity, not media time. And this is from Ron in Briarwood. Mike, when Martin Luther King Jr. was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, he certainly had not achieved his life's work. Many at the time could and did ask what he had done to receive such a prestigious award. Of course, what he had done was monumental in hindsight. And I remember that the right wing derided him as being just a two-bit communist agitator. Ron in Briarwood. Yeah, it took me a while today to understand also what was causing this bile to erupt from these right wing pieces of human waste, but also the inability of American media to just flat out celebrate and honor what had happened. As far as the right wing is concerned, these miserable sons of bitches will never, just like Mary Bell pointed out, will never, ever be nominated for anything like this. Because they are, number one, cowards. It takes courage to stand in front of global audiences and talk peace the way Obama did when he was a candidate. It takes courage to try as best he can. I'm not satisfied with what he's doing in Afghanistan and Iraq. I'm not. But again, I'm not gonna re-chew that chunk of blubber every time I say something positive about Obama. He's not moving fast enough for me, but who in the hell am I? You know, I mean, he's not, obviously, he will not have moved fast enough for the next 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 Americans who are killed in these horrible wars started by George Walker Bush. But I need to hope, and I do believe, that he's doing the best he can. It's not what I want to see. I want to see faster, more, quicker. But the right wingers, these filthy pigs that dominate media in this country, talk radio, talk television, these filthy, cowardly pigs who will it doesn't make any difference what Obama does or doesn't do. They're on him. Get the piece of Limbaugh. Have you got the Limbaugh sound? I want to play that now. This is Limbaugh. Today, where he made it clear that he is on the same side as the Taliban. That's not as out of order as you might think. Limbaugh is a Nazi. He's a fascist. The Taliban are religious fascists. Limbaugh would fit right in with these sons of bitches, and these sons of bitches would fit right in with him. This is what the pig man said today. Well, we'll have it here in a second.
I think that everybody is laughing. Our president is a worldwide joke. Folks, do you realize something has happened here that we all agree with the Taliban and Iran about, and that is he doesn't deserve the award? Now, that's hilarious, that I'm on the same side of something with the Taliban, and that we all are on the same side as the Taliban.
You rotten son of a bitch. Speak for yourself. Dude, what do you mean? I think that everybody is laughing. Our president is a worldwide joke. What kind of existence does this drug-addled, child-molesting freak live in? Our president is not a worldwide joke. You are! And besides that, the world celebrates the man, you half-wit. He says something, do you realize something is happening here that we all agree with the Taliban? Who's this we all? It's you Nazis. It's you, you son of a bitch. You're the one that agrees with the Taliban. God, I hate this guy. He just turns my stomach. Calm down, Mike. We'll be right back.
Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train, sounding louder.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Coming back right after the break, we'll be joined by Marcy Winograd, who is running for Congress in California's 36th Congressional District, a seat now held by Jane Harman. We'll be talking with her for a bit next hour. Also, today is John Lennon's birthday. If you really want to feel old, he would have been 69 years old tomorrow, which means next year at this time he would have been 70. John Lennon, huh? Okay, a couple more emails here from our military affairs correspondent. Sharon, I think this award is a huge repudiation of the way the Bush-Cheney administration operated in the world. Their idea of foreign policy is to send the 82nd Airborne Division to start killing people. They believed diplomacy was a sign of weakness, and they didn't do it. Their idea of the perfect ambassador was John Bolton. The Bush bunch completely disavowed the notion that good foreign relations improve national security. We are safer when everyone does not hate and disrespect us. I'm sure the Republicans will tell us that the Nobel Peace Prize is for sissies and French people. Sharon. Now, I got some of these, too. This is from Trish in Nevada. Uncle Mike, make it better. Where do we turn for sanity when a president who never promised peace anyway, and who has presided over the bombing and maiming and displacing and agony of over a million Pakistanis and Afghans, and that is just a sampling of the mayhem U.S. Raises worldwide, when that man gets a Nobel Peace Prize? Is the prize now awarded for whoever has the most robot drones? Yours and Amy Goodman's are the only voices I want to hear until this madness blows over. Trish, I understand what you're saying. I really do. Would that this president would have, by executive order, grounded all of our flights, all of our bombings. I understand. But I still feel that this decision by the Nobel Committee was excellent. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont issued the following statement after Obama was awarded the Peace Prize. Quote, President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to reduce nuclear arms, ease tensions with the non-Western world, and stress diplomacy. Americans should be extremely proud that we now have a president who is restoring respect and admiration for our country around the globe at a time when our planet faces so many serious problems. The United States must play a leadership role in bringing the international community together again against our common enemies of war, terrorism, poverty, AIDS, and global warming. The awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize to President Obama is a show of support for his efforts in that direction. End quote. And I agree with that. Sometimes, don't you award potential? I mean, don't you do that? Bad analogy, but don't you do that with your kids? I mean, with your spouse? Don't you, when your five-year-old does something good that in and of itself is just some little teeny tiny event, don't you say, hey, Molly, way to go. That's really good. I mean, don't you do that? Well, not if your kid isn't named Molly, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that Obama is a five-year-old. Why do I feel like I have to explain myself all the time? Oh, well. Peter writes, Mike, I hope President Obama gives his Nobel money to Keith Olbermann's fund drive for National Association of Free Clinics Incorporated. Can you mention that you can donate to the effort from the Countdown website? Can you imagine if a Democrat agreed with the Taliban on anything, what those pigs would say? Peter, yeah, he's referring to all the Republicans, or especially the pig man himself, who said he agrees. We all agree with the Taliban now. No, we don't, you miserable son of a bitch. Yeah, go to countdown.msnbc.com. We will be doing that. Kathy and I will be doing it over this weekend. So far, I believe that over $250,000 have been raised so far. This is what Olbermann talked about the other day. Or the other night on his program, to raise the money for these free clinics to go to the very states where these Democrats, screw the Republicans, forget the Republicans. The Republicans they live in coffins. They are the dead. Forget Republicans. But to go to the so-called blue dog Democrat states and set up these free clinics so that these blue dog Democrats, these cowardly son of a bitches who owe their soul to the pharmaceutical, industrial, and medical industrial complex can see how many people in their states desperately need health care. It's a wonderful idea. Go to countdown.msnbc.com. I don't know how much we can afford to give, but I will guarantee you that this weekend we will be contributing to that site. If you can do it, okay? Go to countdown.msnbc.com. This is what Oberman was talking about the other night. This was on, do we have time yet? Yeah, on Democratic Underground, one of the posts from Depa Kid, who writes, "Woo, the venom on the comment threads is running thick. No surprise, really. Here's one surprise of interest. Memo to all the right-wingers spewing venom. If you choose to ignore the Nobel Committee's stated reasons for awarding the honor, here's another way to look at it. The rest of the world knows who and what you are, indolent and arrogant bullies whose policies have been failures on every level, especially economics and foreign policy. The honor bestowed on Obama, whom you've laughably called every name you can conjure up, is as much a rejection of your and your party's vile nature as it is a recognition of Obama's efforts to change direction and clean up all the messes that you've made. How refreshing it is to see an insightful, intelligent, and engaged figure on the world stage who actually understands how to use diplomacy and mutual interests to reach common goals. Of course, it's very much a work in progress, as it has been with many previous recipients. It's going to take many years to undo all the damage that you and your ilk have wrought, though as the committee and its leaders and the people throughout the rest of the world see, Obama's not only got the right stuff, but is step by step following through and once again working with other nations to solve our collective problems." Yeah, I say, oh, and one more. The Nobel Committee, this is from Prairie 2, the Nobel Committee didn't give the prize to all the people who took America a step back from the edge of the world of world destruction by electing Obama, so they gave it to him to hold for them. We'll be back after the break with Marcy Winograd. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Thanks for tuning in or for sticking around. For those of you who listen through KTLK or XM or Sirius who live in the L.A. area, you know who Marcy Winograd is. She's going to join us in a second, just a couple of minutes. She is running for Congress in the 36th Congressional District in California, which includes the West LA suburbs. Let me tell you a little bit about her if you don't know her. She's a co-founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Progressive Democrats of America, PDA. And in her bid to remove Jane Harman as a representative, Marcy wants to put 10 million Americans back to work, get this, repairing our country's infrastructure, building rapid transit, developing alternative energy to make America more secure. She pledges to lead the Congressional Progressive Caucus to cut billions of government waste in Iraq and Afghanistan and commit taxpayer money to jobs, health care, and education. Here's one of the statements that is on her website that I like. Quote, "Bombing and occupying Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan will only destabilize the region and undermine global security." She says, "We need to find another way to solve our problems. I'll be proud to serve our country as we engage the world community in smart diplomatic solutions," end quote. And the last little bit, she is also, and this is important to a lot of people listening to this program, Jew and Gentile. She's a co-founder of LA Jews for Peace. She has been a guest speaker at conferences promoting peaceful coexistence and equal rights for Palestinians. Palestinians and Israelis living together in the Middle East. She's bravely spoken out against violence in all forms, whether it be Israeli demolitions of Palestinian homes or Palestinian rocket attacks on southern Israel. She supports an end to the lethal blockade of Gaza, as well as the removal of Israeli settlements from the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Her website, go there, Winograd4Congress.com. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for that gracious introduction.
Well, that's I'm trying to talk fast. I'm trying to get it all in before we and that's just a little bit of what you're about. And again, I hope people go to Winograd, W-I-N-O-G-R-A-D, Winograd, numeral 4, Congress.com. What about your president today, huh?
President Obama winning the Nobel Prize.
How about that?
I read that on Reuters, and I thought, oh, I didn't even know that they were talking about this right now.
I didn't either.
You know, in the last 24 hours, I've been talking to others about it. You know, what's going on with this? Because it's really, I think, not just a surprise to you, to me, but it was also a surprise to the White House.
I think it was, and I've spent the first hour of the program tonight saying I think it's a good thing. I know a lot of people, certainly the right-wingers, will have nothing to do with this, and I think some people on the left are criticizing it, like, what has he done? How does he deserve this? I happen to think it's a wonderful idea. It awards somebody for trying to do something after 8 years of the mess that we've been in. I'm curious about your plan here. You talk about putting 10 million Americans back to work, doing the things that we absolutely need. I'm surprised Obama did not order up something similar to the Works Project Project Administration from Roosevelt's era to do just exactly what you're talking about, rebuild the infrastructure.
That's right. That's right. I'm talking about a Green New Deal, something the equivalent of a Works Progress Administration, a massive infusion. Public money, and not just in the public projects, but the private projects as well that will benefit us in terms of repairing our ports, our bridges that are falling apart, really developing renewable energy resources that will make us energy independent and less dependent on unstable governments, the oil,
right.
And spending money not just in those areas, but also on the arts. You know, we need a cultural revival in this country, and there are a lot of artists who are finding themselves struggling now as well. So I very much support that. And just one other thought about the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, I my theory is that there were maybe three things going on with that. And one was kind of a parting shot to Bush and Cheney. Another was, well, we've got your back to the right wing in this country who's trying to, you know, sabotage health care.
Right.
Attack him on all fronts. But I also think that, in a way, it may have been encouragement to President Obama to make good on some of these treaties that the United States has yet to become a signatory of or to sign or to ratify. I'm talking about the Ottawa Treaty to ban landmines. I'm talking about the International Criminal Court so that we can prosecute war criminals rather than bombing them.
Yeah. Also, treaties about the UN agreement on children that we've not signed on to.
Exactly. And there are some interesting treaties that some people are unaware of concerning outer space. You know, we hear about Star Wars. We hear about weaponizing space. But there are also treaties pertaining to space that say, for example, the Moon Treaty or the Outer Space Treaty, that really space is the common province of all mankind. How about that? That no one can colonize space. And so I'm hopeful, to use that word cautiously, I'm hopeful that awarding this prize will in some way elevate the discussion at the White House and internationally about the expectation that the United States will join the world community in signing some of these treaties.
Well, I agree with you. I think there was a statement being made in the committee awarding this prize along the lines of, we've got your back. And not to worry about the crazy people in your own country. Let me ask you something. Let me reduce it. I realize that a member of Congress, a member of the House, has a lot to do on the national stage, but you also have the 36th district and you also have your state. In following this economic meltdown, especially in California, what a horror that is. I was in San Francisco last week and, talking to people out there, it's just, especially where it concerns education, the university system in California that is, being forced to begin raising tuitions, to laying off professors, especially adjunct professors, people who add so much to education. What can you do in the 36th in California and on a national stage where I don't know if you read, I think it was it Krugman's column about, or no, it was Christoph's column, I think, in the New York Times yesterday or today about this absolute failure to educate our people.
I agree. I mean, as an educator, I'm alarmed at the fact that there are massive layoffs across the country in education. I worked at Crenshaw High School last year. You know, we fought the layoffs. We fought them both at Crenshaw and district-wide. Many of them were put on the back burner or called off. I think, really, Mike, it's about shifting our national priorities. As a country, we want to be strong. Mm-hmm. Being strong does not mean bankrupting your treasury by spending trillions on occupations that only make us less secure. You know that. I know that.
Sure.
I think at least half of the country knows that at this point. At least that's what the polls show in terms of the continuing occupation and the escalation in Afghanistan. If we could take that money, take the money that we're spending to produce bombs, to occupy countries, to bail out banks, and instead shift our priorities and invest in the new green economy, invest in education, why, we'd be a much stronger mm-hmm. nation.
How would you, let me rephrase it, how do you now overcome this horrendously negative attitude about Congress that goes across all party lines, all political philosophies in this country? I think the general approval, now I'm not talking about specific polls, but the general disapproval of the U.S. Congress has gotten to the point where it's almost, I don't know how, sometimes how someone rational would even try to enter into this, because what is it, 14, 15, 20% approval rating by the American public where it concerns Congress. And we got a break here, Marcy, so let me just let that thought let it percolate for a second, because I'm and when we come back you can address that, because I just wonder sometimes how someone who is obviously has a decent objective in mind, which is what you do, obviously a decent person such as yourself, what in the world makes you want to enter into an arena where the American people have so little respect? So, you know, it's just horrible what has happened. Of course, I fault mostly Republicans, but also some Democrats for this attitude. So when we come back, maybe you can give me some insight as to what you can tell Americans that would help get our confidence back in the Congress. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back. We're talking to Marcy Winograd. She's running for Congress from the 36th District in California up against Jane Harman. Do yourself a favor. Seriously now. Go to her website, Winograd4Congress.com. If you don't live there, which 99% of our listeners don't, go to her website anyway. Make a contribution. Come on now. This is the 10, 20, 50, 100 buck thing that we've been talking about. Just do it, okay? Past the hour. Looks like we lost a little bit of music there. Oh, well, that's the way it goes in the magical world of radio. 21 past the hour. We're talking with Marcy Winograd. The question, Marcy, is given the terrible opinion that is prevalent in this country about Congress, and, you know, we could talk for hours about why that is, but it is a fact. How do you overcome that, A? B, how do you restore confidence of the American people in our legislative branch of government?
Mike, I think that's an excellent question. I think there are two parts to this answer. I think that people want real representation. They want to know that their representative represents them, not Exxon, not Chevron, not, you know, big corporations. Mm-hmm. That the biggest threat, the greatest threat to our democracy comes from these large corporations and the power that they wield in Washington. And so on the micro level, I think it's about hold frequent town hall forums, meeting with constituents. Unfortunately, opponent Jane Harmon has not held one town hall forum on health care. This is when the debate is key to what's going on in America today. That's what everybody is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But she has been virtually missing in action in terms of interacting with her constituents on this. So I think it's imperative as a representative that one be in the district representing people, listening. And that's what I'm doing on Monday mornings. I'm in the district conducting a listening tour right now this week in the South Bay. I'll be in Redondo Beach Monday morning. It's on my website at WinogradForCongress.com. So I think on the one hand, on the micro level, it's really about representing your constituents, the people in your district, in my district. On the national level, I think it's about supporting policies, supporting caucuses such as the Progressive Caucus that are going to get something done, that are going to be meaningful. And I'm talking about public financing of campaigns, of elections. I would be very much, I would be a big supporter of election reform, because right now we basically have corporations subsidizing congressional fees. My opponent takes money from Chevron. This is one of the biggest polluters in the South Bay.
Right.
I would not do that. I think on the national level, we need to empower the Progressive Caucus. We have about 80 members who need our support and who need to exercise their leadership in a way that can lead our country. In other words, we for the first time, some of us heard about the Progressive Caucus during the health care debate when they said they would not sign a health care bill that did not include a strong public option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're still saying that today. I hope so. But if I were in Congress, or I should say when I go to Congress, I want to be involved in the Progressive Caucus. I want to help lead that caucus so that we really can make a difference, so that we represent the people, not the corporation in America.
Well, I think most people who believe in representative government would like to see that happen. I think that's part of, obviously, that's part of where, or that's part of the reason there is so much cynicism, is because even the most ill-informed voter, of course, if they're really ill-informed, they just don't bother anymore. But I think even that person understands that corporate America has really bought and paid for this Congress. And, you know, like Molly Ivan said, you dance with him that brung you, or them that brung you. So it's not surprising Congress do this. Let me ask you, how committed are you? And I mean, I'm looking for a real straight ahead answer here. How committed are you to ending our military involvement in Iraq, Pakistan, and Afghanistan?
Mike, if you go to my website, listeners, I invite everyone who's listening to visit my website. You will see on the front, on the home page, the quote, "I will bring the troops home. I will work to bring the troops home from Afghanistan. Jane Harmon will not." I have been deeply involved in the anti-war movement for the last decade. And to me, it's imperative that we change course, because first of all, we're not making ourselves any more secure. Every time we bomb a wedding party in Afghanistan, we know we're creating new enemies. This is a recruiting tool. These occupations are recruiting tools for terrorism. So we know that it's bad policy in terms of our own protection, but it's also bad policy in terms of our economy. Some people say, oh, we can't afford to leave Afghanistan. No, we can't afford to stay there.
Yeah.
Because this is a raid on our treasury.
So,
all the money that is spent, that we are spending to prop up military bases and, you know, occupations, it's not sustainable.
So absolute promise, you would work.
Absolute.
You'd work toward ending that madness.
In fact, in a few weeks, November 13th through the 15th in San Diego, the executive board of the California Democratic Party will be meeting, and I'll be there as a delegate to the party, introducing my resolution that I co-authored with the chair of the Progressive Caucus, Karen Bernal, as well as Norman Solomon, a great writer, that calls for withdrawing our troops from Afghanistan in a way that ensures the safety of our troops, involving the regional stakeholders in dialogue, and finding other solutions to these issues rather than solutions we know are not real solutions.
No, we've had
Afghani people have fought occupations for centuries.
We've had 8 years of ineptitude. Listen, Marcy, I hope that your campaign is successful. Anything that I can do, we're out of time. Anything I can do, you're welcome back on this program anytime.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I urge everyone to go to WinogradForCongress.com. Look, I am running for you. I'm running for the people. I need your support. Jane Harman is one of the richest members of Congress with about $300-400 million, lost $100 million in the economic downturn. So this is going to take, it won't take $400 million, but it will take
support. Marcy, thank you. Take care, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right,
bye-bye.
We'll talk again. Bye-bye. Marcy Winograd, go to her website, Winograd4Congress.com.
Crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today.
There's hope.
Gas prices, they just keep on rising.
There's hope.
The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can.
Oh, yes. It is time once again for the second time this evening. And there's one more. To win a free podcast subscription to the Molloy program, downloads free, no commercials. It's yours if you get the answer right. With the retail value of $59.60 a year. You ready to play? Let's do it. Sammy is in Miami. Hi, Sammy.
How are you? Hi, you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sammy. All right, you ready to take a shot at this?
Go for it.
Okay. Which Bush administration official ordered staffers to drape fabric over a statue showing a partially naked breast? Was it A, Secretary of State Colin Powell, B, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, C, Attorney General John Ashcroft, or D, Vice President Dick Cheney?
I'm going to say Dick Cheney.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was, Sammy, it was from Ashcroft. If you remember, shortly after he was, confirmed, he couldn't handle the thought of being photographed in front of the naked breasts on two partially nude statues in the Great Hall of the Department of Justice. I believe it was the Statue of Justice, and she had a breast showing. So the department spent $8,000 on blue drapes that hide both of those giant Art Deco statues. Ah, Sammy, thanks a lot for trying, though. You can try it again, okay? Okay, Elaine is in Honesdale, PA. Hi, Elaine.
Hey, Mike.
You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. Which of the following statements about education was not uttered by President Bush? A. Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? B. You teach a child to read and he or she will be able to pass a literacy test. C. Reading is the basis for all learning. And D. Testing is important. How can we know we're failing if we don't test? Right. Which of those statements about education was not uttered by President Bush? Was it A, rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? B, you teach a child to read and he or her will be able to pass a literacy test. D, C, reading is the basics for all learning. And D, testing is important. How can we know we're failing if we don't test?
B.
Which one?
B.
Sorry, Elaine. No, he did say you teach a child to read and he or her will be able to pass the literacy test. Actually, it was D. He never said testing is important. How can we know we're failing if we don't test? Kathy made that up. Of course, it sounds like the half-wit, doesn't it? All right. Thanks, Elaine. You can try again, though. I promise. All right. We don't have a winner yet. Oh, my God. Let me see here. Okay, here we go. Let's try Tyler is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You ready, Tyler?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Former first daughter and boozy Bush twin Jenna Bush, now married, Hager, will regularly appear on what TV show? Will it be A, The Today Show, B, Fox and Friends, C, A Real Chance at Love, or D, Is Your Dad Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Which program is Jenna Bush going to appear on? A, The Today Show, B, Fox and Friends, C, Real Chance at Love, or D, Is Your Dad Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
I'm going to say Fox and Friends.
Oh, no. That would make sense, but actually it's A, Tyler, The Today Show, if you can believe it. All right, Tyler, thanks. I appreciate you giving it a shot anyway. Oh, my God. All right, are we ready? Who's next? Oh, Kathy's getting somebody up there. Okay. These are not this hard. I guess what it is that people are so glad that this psychopath is gone, that we tend to forget everything that all the bad stuff that they did. All right, ready to try again? Bill is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
All right. Who made the following statement in the Bush administration? You go to war with the army you have, not with the army that you'd like to have. Was it
Rumsfeld?
I was going to say. All right, you got it. All right, no point going down the list. Way to go. All right, Bill, stay on the line. Kathy will take the information. Thanks, Bill. All right. Kathy will get the information. Bill, thanks a lot for playing podcast trivia. Now, I want to go back for a moment to... and again, if you're just joining us, today is the reason we are playing incidental music that is mostly John Lennon. Today is his birthday. He would have been 69 years old today. How does that make you feel, hippie? Huh? And also, the other thing is... Go to Keith Olbermann's website. He has this idea of raising money to send the free clinics to the various states where the Blue Dog Democrats are sitting on their asses and refusing to act like Democrats, and help get this health care insurance reform business passed. And what they're looking for is contributions. We're going to do it this weekend. If you've got $10, $5, whatever it takes, or whatever you got, and I realize this is a lot of pressure right now, but I think in the long run, some of the pressure in this country will ease from people financially if we have comprehensive health care insurance plan that is that gets these sons of bitches, these leeches and predators out of the system. Go to countdown.msnbc.com if you would. All right, what else? A couple more emails on Obama's being awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace today. And again, there was so much garbage flying out of the mouths of the right wingers today. They truly hate this president. They hate America. They hate anything that this man tries to do that is decent and honest and just. And that's understandable, because they are conservatives. They are Republicans. They are hate mongers. They are scum like Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and the rest of them. They're not interested in the United States. They're interested in the ascendancy of fascism or corporatism in this country. That's what they're about. They do not respect the Constitution. They loathe representative government. They don't want it. They want the kind that was here when Jefferson wrote the Declaration and the Constitution. They want the kind of representation that was popular all those years ago. White male property owners only. This is what they're about. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. I'm aware of so many women who support these right-wing pigs, and that's like a chicken supporting Colonel Sanders. But, you know, people do what you want. I'm kind of given up on trying to understand the gross idiocy in this country, political idiocy. Regarding the Peace Prize, Steve in Buffalo writes, it's not as if they threw a shoe at him. He gets the Nobel Peace Prize for not being John McCain or Sarah Palin. That, and he spent his time in office spraying the world with the fresh minty scent of Bush Be Gone, and the world likes it. I agree it will mean more when the wars are over and the troops are back home. He doesn't think he's earned it yet either. He said that. But it isn't entirely undeserved. His work on nuclear proliferation has been significant. I wouldn't have minded at all if they'd given it to someone else, but it's not at all embarrassing. That is to say, he's no Henry Kissinger. Steve in Buffalo. Yeah, for those of you who remember, was it in 68 when Lay Duck To and Henry Kissinger were jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize because they finally agreed to the shape of the table for the Paris peace talks? I know a lot of you are so young you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but I remember that as if it were, well, 40 years ago. This is from Diane in Pittsburgh. Regarding the Nobel Prize, Mike, I agree. The right-wing pigs who are talking all this trash about Obama are disgusting. This award was given to Obama, recognizing his potential for peace and unity throughout the world. His election alone touched the world, who breathed a sigh of relief when he was elected. Don't they award the prize to research doctors for their work toward the fight on cancer and other diseases? They haven't cured cancer, but their potential and will to do so is rewarded. But the right-wingers don't get it, Diane in Pittsburgh. And who was it that wrote to me tonight with a very straightforward and very true observation? The right-wingers hate any Peace Prize recipient, any Nobel Peace Prize recipient, American, South African, from Myanmar. It doesn't make any difference because right-wingers, Republicans, conservatives, the Limbaugh types can never, ever even get in the running. Sure, you can nominate Glenn Beck for a Nobel Peace Prize. You might as well. I don't know. I'm not going to try to come up with some weird metaphor. He's a punk. But there will never be a Nobel Peace Prize winner who's a right winger. It just won't happen because they are about dissension and war and ugliness and hatred and divisiveness and destruction and so to hell with them. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's safe in a land that's clean and free for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house. Cause I
choose. Don't be afraid.
You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It's about 10 before the hour. Okay, one more email about Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize today. Edie in Atlanta writes, Mike, I'll admit that when I saw the headline this morning, I haven't watched TV today. I confess I was puzzled. Then I thought perhaps the prize was meant to encourage Obama to live up to his promise. Teddy Roosevelt, who never saw a war he didn't love, and Woodrow Wilson, who talked peace and took us into World War I, because Europeans were just killing each other, as they had for millennia, the Kaiser wasn't coming after us. And we all know what a man of peace Henry Kissinger was. Can you believe that old gargoyle is still alive and not in prison? Anyway, I believe Obama should get a Profile and Courage Award because he had the guts to stand up and take on this thankless job. So good on him, and good luck to him. He'll need it. Edie. Have you got, I want you to hear Limbaugh one more time. This is a guy who aligns himself and everybody in his word. I don't know what his universe consists of. I really don't. But he says that we all agree with the Taliban and Iran. My God. I mean, you talk about delusional. This son of a bitch is so far over the edge as to render anything he says just gibberish, but he does command a huge audience of millions. Oh, by the way, the Taliban today condemned that decision to award the Nobel Peace Prize to Obama, saying he had not taken a single step toward peace in Afghanistan. This from the Taliban. A spokesman, Zabihullah Mujahid, told the French news agency, quote, "We condemn the award of the Nobel Peace Prize for Obama. We condemn the institutes awarding him the Peace Prize. We condemn this year's Peace Prize as unjust." That sounds exactly like something Limbaugh would say.
I think that everybody is laughing. Our president is a worldwide joke.
Oh, my God.
Folks, do you realize something has happened here that we all agree with the Taliban and Iran about, and that is he doesn't deserve the award?
Oh, man.
Now, that's hilarious, that I'm on the same side of something with the Taliban.
Yeah.
And that we all are on the same side as the Taliban.
You sick son of a bitch. I'm so sick of this man. I am so sick of this guy. I am so sick of him. Lord. There were some interesting... A couple of people, when word got out today that the pig man and some other people are buying or have bought the Rams football team, it was reported in the... In New York Daily News, a lot of the players are saying, we're not going to play for him. We'll quit. We'll retire. We'll get out. We don't have anything to do with this bastard. Remember, it was Limbaugh back in 2003 who suggested that the Philadelphia Eagles black quarterback Donovan McNabb was overrated by sports media, concerned about looking politically correct. And then, of course, look what McNabb did with his career. But the racism of Rush Limbaugh. What Limbaugh wants to do, he wants to be a slave owner. That's what he wants to be. Not that black football players are slaves at all. But in Limbaugh's mind, that's exactly what they are. He wants to own him some Negroes, and if they make tons and tons of money, even more per year than he makes, that's beside the point. Limbaugh wants to be the white owner of black athletes. He wants to own him some Negroes. He can't get them for free. He can't get them to tend to his cotton fields, so he wants them to run up and down the football field on Sundays so that he, Limbaugh, can feel like the white master. This son of a bitch is so transparent. For somebody that big to be that transparent is amazing. But football players, NFL players are saying, no, I don't think so. No, not going to work for this pig. And what's the other thing? That he has been selected, Limbaugh, as a judge in what? Is it Miss America contest, Kathy? One of the beauty pageants. This is like Tom DeLay being on Dancing with the Stars. This society, our sick society, is to that point. In the first place, what the hell is a Miss America contest to begin with? What is that? What is a Miss America contest? Give me a goddamn break. But to have Limbaugh being one of the judges, you know, it's almost appropriate. He's probably out trolling. He's looking, I don't know, maybe he's given up on underage boys and girls, and he's decided to go after somebody just barely overage. What a waste this man is. What a waste of oxygen. And I shudder to think how much global warming he's contributing to with his methane emissions. Ugh. All right, we're going to move away from the Nobel Peace Award to Barack Obama when we come back. I'd love to keep it going all night, but we want to talk about some other things and open up the lines for your comments. All right. And also, don't forget, bottom of the next hour, one more podcast trivia tonight. So stick around for all the fun and frivolity, okay? It's Friday night. You got nothing else to do. You're broke just like we are. So stick around for this. All right. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. If you are just joining us, we spent the better part of the program talking about the eruptions from the filthy right regarding Barack Obama's winning of the Nobel Peace Prize today. So we're going to move on from that. At least I am. If you want to make a comment about it, that's fine. In Louisville, Kentucky, today, 10,000 people applied, well, over 3 days, 10,000 people applied for 90 jobs, 90, building washing machines at General Electric. The job pays a little over $11 an hour, $27,000 a year is what they're talking about. That's on a 40-hour work week. There's some benefits. There's medical care, glasses, prescription meds, dental benefits package, as well as a pension. Disability, tuition assistance. That's according to GE spokeswoman Kim Freeman. Despite the recession, no union workers have been laid off from Appliance Park, is what it's called, since the company negotiated lower wages with workers in 2005. For the past 4 years, workers there negotiated themselves down from $19 an hour to about $11.50 an hour. The local there, local 761 of the union, I'm not sure what union it is, but they approved wage cuts for new workers aimed at preventing the closure of Appliance Park. Union spokesman said people still value these jobs. Jefferson County, which is Louisville, has a current unemployment rate of 10.6%. Which means it's probably about 16%, with more than 38,000 people unemployed looking for work. So the opportunity, as the Courier Journal, the newspaper in Louisville, puts it, the opportunity for moderate pay in health care was an attractive lure. Moderate pay. Moderate pay. $27,000 a year. That's moderate pay. For a family of four, that is below the poverty line, isn't it? Why do they call it, why does the Courier Journal call it moderate pay? I don't quite get that. It's $500, roughly $500 a week. $550 a week, is that what it would be, about $550 a week? Before taxes, what is it after taxes? That's moderate pay. Are you kidding me? Prairie 2 writes, weekly unemployment claims were down slightly last week, but not enough to matter. Canada is touting job growth of 31,000 jobs for last month. We officially lost 256,000 jobs in September, but it was really at least 500,000. The Pew Research Center did a study of the news media's coverage of this so-called Great Recession. They found that the media largely consider it yesterday's news. Only 6% of coverage about the economy concerns how the average American is suffering from this calamity. The Pew Center also noted that only 4% of economic news deals with the mushrooming business crisis that is putting millions out of work. The bailout has been top down, and so has been the coverage. It's true the problem came from the top, and the bulk of the news coverage should be about the indictments, the seizures of assets, and the restoration of wealth to the middle class, but it's not. 100,000 people run out of unemployment benefits each week as the Senate wastes time with the details of the benefit extension bill already passed by the House. In the meantime, they have passed numerous bills, including billions to raise the pay of Congress and its staff. General Motors unloaded the Hummer brand today, and you could say good riddance, except that there is an overseas market for the giant breadbox on wheels. That market will go to the Sichuan Tianjin Heavy Industrial Machinery Company in China. GM did get a several hundred million dollar buyout for Hummer, but China got rid of a bunch of dollars that it considers worthless, and they got another factory to crate up and take home. China is publicly very annoyed with the Obama administration's actions to raise tariffs on goods that China has been dumping on the U.S. market, and Obama has done nothing, or Obama's do-nothing attitude toward the failing dollar. They have not, however, made any real effort to retaliate and are, in fact, clamping down on construction of factories that produce goods for export. Obama has just slapped a 99% tariff on steel pipe made in China. This follows a 39% tariff on cheap tires 2 weeks ago. It's not time to start singing happy days are here again, but just maybe this is change we can believe in. Yes, we can. Prairie 2. His website is prairienumeral2.com. And someone else mentioned General Motors said it signed a definitive agreement to sell its Hummer Sport utility brand to Chinese heavy equipment maker. Sichuan Tianjin Heavy Industrial Metal, a machinery company, intends to purchase Hummer through an investment entity in which it would hold an 80% stake, GM said in a statement today. And a private Chinese entrepreneur will hold the remaining 20%. So any time now that you see somebody driving a Hummer, right? There's a patriotic American. They were sons of bitches to begin with. I mean, what kind of a sick bastard bought a Hummer? I mean, seriously, in the first place, they were modeled on a machine used to transport American soldiers to their deaths. And secondly, just a gross example of, you know, drop dead. I can afford this son of a bitch. And if you don't like it, you know, I can look down on you. Get out of my way. I'm a big mofo. I'm coming down the expressway or Main Street. I will run your ass over. One of the most gross distortions of reality I think I've ever come across, not on drugs, was when Kathy and I were sitting in traffic about 2 years ago, and there was a Hummer in front of us, a huge son of a bitch, one of those great big ones where it might as well be a billboard in front of you. And the license plate, they had a vanity light, well, not a vanity license plate, but a license plate that said, you can get these here in Georgia, said, support wildlife. And a picture of a pheasant rising up out of the brush and a deer cavorting. And the caption on the license plate said, support wildlife. And here is this pig. You know what this pig was doing in his Hummer? He drove the Hummer, I'm sure, out into the fields to kill things. And that was his way of supporting wildlife. You kill them. You kill creatures. That's how you support wildlife. Oh, I know. There's got to be a culling of flocks and herds. You know, so what? support wildlife. Some ugly son of a bitch in a Hummer talking about support wildlife. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Jay writes in, I notice that the people who don't want us to trust the government to hand money from us to our doctor want us to trust absolutely that 9/11 happened like the government said it did. Thanks for your show. When my welfare here in France arrives, I'll start listening to your show 2 weeks sooner. I'm not sure what that means, Jay, but thank you. What else we got? Oh, yeah, there's something here about the protests in Rochester. Remember, we were talking about that last night, about the SDS students, the kids who were out. And I don't use the term kids in a negative way. They were young people. Students for a Democratic Society, my God, who were out protesting in Rochester and were attacked by the police and bloodied and beaten, and a couple of them wound up in the hospital because they were peacefully demonstrating. No surprise there. But I have an email here from Mark that I want to share with you, and then we're going to take your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Molloy.
Past the hour. All right, let's do some phone calls here. What is this guy? He wants to insult me? All right, David from Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, let's have a little honest.
You want to call me a traitor?
Oh.
You want to come on to my program and call me a traitor? Is that what you said to Kathy?
Yeah, you're a sellout.
How so?
Like, oh, how many ways?
Oh, no. Don't get funky on me, David, or I'll just hang up on you, because I don't like people like you to begin with. But I'm going to give you a chance. If you can talk coherently, I'll give you a chance. Can you do that?
I can talk.
Go ahead.
Can you listen? That's the problem with you. First of all, Bush at least got the business of signing the agreement to get us out of Iraq. Obama hasn't done anything.
What agreement?
To get out.
What agreement? What agreement? What's the agreement called? What's the agreement called? What agreement? What are you talking about? What agreement? Go ahead.
The agreement to leave.
What agreement? What agreement? What's it titled? What's its name?
See here. Now listen.
Okay, go ahead. Go to your next point. Go ahead. What's the agreement? All right, listen. I can't understand you because you have your head about 3 feet up your ass. A. B. Your phone is not working. Go pay your phone bill and call me back some other time. Who was that guy? The agreement that Bush signed? What agreement? The hell is he talking about? He must have gotten to the payphone in the rest home or something. The guy sounds like he's about 95 years old. Oh, Jesus. Where do these people come from? Nora is in Minneapolis. Hey, Nora.
Where do they come from?
Oh, my God. I will listen to anybody, but, you know, when you ask somebody a question, you know, you're a traitor. You don't let people talk. Oh, Jesus. You know, I've been listening to that for 20 years. All right. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hey, Mike. I want to say one quick comment to the Prairie 2 statement before I get onto the Hamas subject, and this is it. The Canadian farmers and workers have to be extremely pleased that United States laws have hemp illegal, because they're now making American cars out of hemp fibers. They've substituted it for fiberglass because it's not toxic like fiberglass. So,
and where is this being done?
In America, they're making the cars, but it's illegal to grow or
no. Where are they making the cars out of hemp fiber?
In America, United States car factories are using hemp. They're substituting a major portion of the fiberglass with hemp fiber in America, but they have to bring it all in.
Okay, but I thought, listen, Nora, I thought you wanted to talk about Hamas and Barack Obama. We'll pick it up next time you call in. The best thing to do, folks, is when you talk with Kathy and you tell Kathy what you want to talk about, that you kind of stick to that, okay? I know the old man who wanted to call me a traitor and everything, he didn't have the guts to do it when he was willing to tell Kathy that, but he wasn't willing to tell me. So, but when you call in, you know, and Kathy talks to you for a second, we don't screen people out. Even the nutcases like that guy, we'll allow in the air until I get bored with him. But for heaven's sake, when you call in and Kathy says, hey, you want to talk with Mike, what do you want to talk about? And it's up to you. Anything. But when you tell her what you want to talk about, she then types it on the screen so that I know and can shift whatever gears I have left in my mind onto that particular topic and be ready to address what you want to talk about. So, like our last caller said, she wanted to talk about Hamas and Obama, not about hemp-made cars. So, you know, come on, don't do that. Don't do that. All right? Thanks. Edie is in Atlanta. Hi, Edie.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Long time.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was thinking about Obama, you know, and I was puzzled when I saw the headline.
Uh-huh.
But I've been saying for the longest time that he should get a Profile and Courage medal.
Yeah, well, I read your email on the air tonight, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
You know, we have to unchain ourselves now and then from the computer.
right.
Thank you for that.
No, I got your email today, and I thought you made a good point. So, you know.
Well, my liege. Oh, I want to tell you. Yes, I had the TV on with the sound off, and
yeah,
they are playing our song tonight. First, it was the Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, yeah?
And now the Parallax View.
Oh, Parallax View is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
It certainly is, and I don't even have the sound on. I'm scared to death, and I even know what's coming.
Yeah. All right.
I read my letter. That pretty much said it.
Yeah, that did it. All right, Edie, we're about to break here. Thanks, dear heart. Don't be a stranger.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. We have a break here. We'll be back. More of your phone calls and podcast trivia. When we come back, let me see if I can give away one more free subscription tonight, okay? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. And you can win a one-year free subscription to Malloy Program podcast downloads. How's that for a mouthful? And it's all free and has no commercials. All I have to do is get the right answer to our question, our podcast trivia question. So without further delay, let us give it a shot here. Ron is in Columbia, Missouri. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Mike.
You ready?
I'm ready. I've been listening for several weeks for you to do this, but
Okay.
I haven't missed very many of them, so I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. What was George W. Bush's Secret Service code name? As you know, the Secret Service assigns every member of the first family a code name. What was his? Was it A, Tankard, B, Tumbler, C, Drunkard, or D, Dumbo?
Would you repeat those? I missed C.
All right. What was George W. Bush's Secret Service code name? A, Tankard, B, Tumbler, C, Drunkard, D, Dumbo.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. I don't know. I'm going to have to guess.
All right.
I'll say, what was B again?
Tumbler.
Tumbler. I don't think it was Tumbler because he started doing that after he had been in office for a while. So they would have given him his code name right at the beginning. I don't know. I'll just take a guess and say, hey.
Hey. Well, I'm sorry, Ron, but you were so close because it was B, Tumbler. Tumbler was his code name. Yes?
I just have to step in and say something because I looked this one up. I mean, I make these trivia questions, and I do apologize because that was kind of a tough one. I guess they've all been tough. I'm running out of ideas. But when they come up with these, okay, all right, well, Obama is Renegade. Reagan was Rawhide. Bush the first, I think, was Trailblazer. Clinton was Eagle, and they gave Bush Tumbler. I mean, it just cracked me.
Isn't that funny?
I was like, Tumbler.
I hear you. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate you giving a shot, Ron. Thanks a lot. All right, let's try Arnold in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who was not an attorney general under George W. Bush? Was it A, John Ashcroft, B, Alberto Gonzalez, C, Michael Mukasey, or D, Michael Chertoff? Which one of those was not an attorney general under Bush?
I think it was D, Michael Skeleton Chertoff.
Well, guess what? You are absolutely right. All right. Way to go, Arnold!
Yeah, man. I got it from the 54 cars I won on your show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. You know, you are a long-time listener.
Yes, sir.
All right, Arnold, I'm going to put you on hold so Kathy can get the information. Congratulations, man. I appreciate you playing, all right?
Thank you, man.
All right, take care. The cards. Yeah, we still have some decks of those left. We ought to give some of those away. I remember the guy that came up with that idea was one of the early advertisers, I think, all the way back to IE America. And we still have some decks left. I think that's what we'll do next week. We'll give some of those away because those are so cool. Oh, my God. It's Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
I'm all right. Where you been, girl?
Hiding.
From who? From what?
I don't know. The goblins.
The goblins.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm glad you came out long enough to call. What you got on your mind?
Well, take your pick. I mean, we shot the moon.
Yeah, we did. What was that all about? Oh, that's right. They wanted to see if there was water a few inches under the surface of the moon. I was, you know what really gets me about that? It was touted as going to be this huge, interplanetary fireworks. We were all going to sit here and watch the moon go poof and throw up this big plume of stuff. And it didn't happen. So everybody got all upset, which had nothing to do with the experiment. The experiment, I understand, from NASA worked. But, you know, isn't that just like us? We were sitting down here going, oh, I want to see it. I want to see it.
Well, I was just trying to figure out. They shot that thing in June, and it just got there. It didn't take that long for them to get when they flew to the moon before, did it?
Well, no. They sent an orbiter up.
Oh.
And the orbiter went around the moon until it got into the precise orbit. Now, I just say this, you know, I don't know squat about this, but this is what I heard on the news today.
Check that out with my son because he's the astronaut expert, and you know why it was taking so damn long, because I said, that don't make sense.
Yeah, well, they got in orbit around the moon with this thing, and then they waited until the precise moment for the precise target area, and then pushed the button, and off it went.
And of course, you knew it was Bo's birthday.
Bo?
Bo the dog.
Oh, that's right, Barack Obama's dog. No, I completely slipped my mind because it's John Lennon's birthday.
And this one you got to mark down and go out and go shopping next week because I don't know what day it's out.
Yeah.
But you know who's going to be on the cover of the November issue of Playboy, don't you?
You?
Well, her name is Marge, but she's got blue hair.
Marge.
Simpson.
Marge Simpson?
Complete with centerfold.
Is you are kidding? Where do you get this information?
I stay up late at night.
Oh no! Wait a minute. I know it's in your subscription to Playboy, right?
No, I just read the articles. Remember how that
you saw this on late night TV that Marge Simpson is going to be the centerfold.
Well, actually, I heard it on the radio, but Marge Simpson's going to be the Playboy centerfold for November.
Oh my God!
See, I told you. You have to go out and buy. I think it's coming out next week, but I don't know what day.
Yeah? All right. Well, my subscription ran out 28 years ago. and I never renewed it. I don't know. I just got kind of tired of looking at the pictures. You know what I mean?
All the young studs that I used to know used to say, well, they didn't look at the pictures. They were buying it to read the articles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, wow. And they cussed at the staples in the middle of her belly button.
That's right. I'm glad you said belly button. Now, what else did you call about, Marge?
And by God, Barack Obama won the Nobel Prize.
How about that?
And the Nobel Committee gave the giant finger to the Republican Party.
They did indeed, and I think that's the most fun part of this. I guess people can make arguments either way about the awarding the prize. I happen to think it was a great idea. I love it, but nobody can disagree with the truth that this was a thumb in the eye of these right wing bastards that continue to pollute this country on radio and television.
I've been giggling all day long, you know, listening to some of these people say, well, he didn't really deserve it. He's only been in there for 9 months. And
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh, geez, give me a damn bloody break, would you please?
I hear you.
Well, oh, man.
I hear you.
Sour grapes. Maybe, you know, besides, he hasn't been there long enough to accomplish a whole lot. But, of course, he was, you know, when he started out campaigning, he was going to do a lot, but before they left the office on the last go-around, they sure made a hell of a mess out of what they were doing.
Didn't they?
So, I mean, it's taken them a while just to clean up the crap that they left behind.
Well, and it's going to take a long time. Not only did the previous corrupt administration leave a mess, but they also left a Republican Party that is populated by a bunch of dunces, clowns, and lunatics who are not the least bit interested in governing the country. So yeah, Obama has an Sisyphean task. Sisyphus, yeah, the guy that kept pushing the boulder up the hill and it kept rolling back. Man, Sisyphean, there you go. Task. Okay. I got my tongue in front of my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying.
I
but
hear you.
You knew what I meant.
Yeah.
He's got an enormous task to try to clean up. All the mess that 8 years of Republican droppings all over Washington has left for him. So it's,
you know, before I called you tonight, I tuned into my other boyfriend, Bill Moyer.
Oh yeah,
and he showed a picture of our good friend Max Baucus.
Yeah,
in one of his meetings of the Finance Committee.
Yeah,
and he particularly drew your attention to a woman that was sitting behind him. Her name was Liz Fowler.
Liz Fowler.
Yeah, she used to work for WellPoint.
Okay, insurance.
He's there directing all the things he needs to put in the bill so that company gets their due.
Oh my God! Oh
and the one that
God.
Was before her, he mentioned her name, and I don't have it in front of me. I wrote it down. Somebody else, but before she took Liz Fowler's place, she was there, and since Liz took over, this new gal or the old gal went to work for WellPoint. You sort of see a pattern there?
Yeah, yeah. It's the corporatization of everything in government. I don't know that they've gotten to Barack Obama yet, but I'll tell you.
Well, I'm hoping that he might get a few. There was one lady on there. She's from your hometown.
Yeah.
Marcy Kaptur.
Marcy Kaptur. Yeah, she used to be the mayor of Toledo, and then went on to run for Congress.
Now. Well, she would have been your rep if you still lived in Toledo.
Right.
But she's got. quite a background in finance and whatnot.
Yes, she does.
And she was kind of spelling it out, you know. I didn't know that she originated the idea that if anybody comes to throw you out of your house, if your mortgage goes bad, that make them show you their the copy of your mortgage note, because they don't know where the hell it is.
Right, they don't. I saw that. I think it's a great idea. Marge, thanks a lot for checking in. I got to make way for commercials and all this kind of noise. Thanks, Marge. Don't be a stranger, damn it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I can remember their names, Ben Birch and Sharon Gordy and Bruce Enberg and Kay Petrini and Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. And, of course, Kathy Bay, who engineers and produces this program through the good times and bad. Thanks to everybody. Back to your phone calls. Tariq is in Burbank, California, listening to KTLK. Tariq, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not bad. I just like to say that in July, I went on a convoy to Gaza to break the siege, and we got to stay there, and we met a lot of people, and everyone I met, they all are filled with love. Nobody wants to continue this. Nobody enjoys being blocked by the whole world, and you see women that couldn't get diapers, people couldn't get food, and I just like to say that today there was a CIA report that says that Taliban has increased 100% in Afghanistan. And I like to relate it to Gaza by saying, when I went to Gaza, every person I met had a cousin or a brother or a father or a sister or somebody killed in their family. And I like to say, when you kill someone, they're going to go to a source that gives them revenge. And as long as America stays, it goes to war, whether it's in Afghanistan or in Iraq, they will never destroy. They will never destroy their enemy, because the more they kill, every time I see 100 civilians dying on TV, I know there's 400 new Taliban members, even people that probably wouldn't have agreed to this in the past. And same thing when we went to Gaza, I saw people that were 18, 19, 20. These people nobody likes to fight. These people didn't grow up and say, you know what, I want to go and I want to put myself in danger every day. War puts people in a very, very bad position. And I like to ask all your callers to imagine their brother or their father or their wife being killed in front of their eyes. And I would like to see what I would like to just know their idea on what they would do. I guess that's my comment. I'd like to thank you a lot for being the only person that actually makes sense on the radio.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Tariq, and this is one of the terrible problems. And thanks, Tariq. One of the terrible problems that we have in this country. I don't know. Maybe it's true in other countries too, but I know it's true here. We we don't understand cause and effect. We don't understand consequences of our actions. We are fed lies in this country. A constant stream of lies, and not just by the right-wing lunatics who infest radio and television, but also so-called mainstream media. It's a constant, unending stream of, if not lies, then certainly misinformation, disinformation, to the extent that, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true. Nobody can make an argument against what you said. The American people are so out of touch with what goes on outside of our borders. If an invader came to this country. Now, even though Europeans were invaders, you know, 250, 300 years ago, but if somebody came now, if somebody decided they didn't like the way we governed ourselves, or, and we don't govern ourselves, we live in chaos here, but if somebody saw that and said, you know what, the United States of America is a threat to world peace, it's a threat to the global economy, it's a threat to, you know, whatever, and if a powerful nation decided to come here and make things right in much the same way that we have gone to Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever we go to. And if the further justification was the United States is an exporter of terror and has been for the past 60 years, and the most powerful terrorist organization on earth is the CIA, you know, sort of reverse what we've been saying about the Taliban or this stupid Al-Qaeda thing or whatever. If someone came here and started blowing up our wedding parties and bombing our schools and so on and so forth, I would imagine that every single American, not conservatives, not Republicans, they would pee their pants and run and hide someplace, or they would join the invader. But normal Americans would resist. And as you point out, if somebody dropped a missile from a drone aircraft on an American church while there was a wedding in progress, or an American a mortuary while there was a funeral in progress, or an American school where there were children learning, the outrage would be so phenomenal that, you know what would happen? There would be a certain number of us who would become suicide bombers, because we would have seen that trying to deal with this invader was off the table. That this son of a bitch had come to our country under whatever pretense, and were killing us and wounding us and maiming us and destroying us. So we would, some of us, would become suicide bombers. And we would wait until we had an opportunity to enter a camp or wherever this enemy had congregated, and we would walk up and we would pull the switch and blow ourselves to pieces in the hopes of killing these people. I believe that as strongly as I believe anything. And yet, the American people do not realize that that is exactly the reaction we're going to get from Pakistan, the occupied territories of the Palestinians, Iraq, Afghanistan, and wherever else we do this. I would hope that with Barack Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize today, that he will think seriously, seriously think about the decisions he has to make. We're out of time. Thank you very much. I appreciate you participating in the program tonight. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Once in a great